The Word of God to give us encouragement and hope as we wait for His return. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. In the name of your bridegroom, Jesus Christ, who will come back and take you to be with Him. Dear brothers and sisters, I think one of the most ironic and pathetic sights is when someone who needs glasses, A, does not have their glasses, and B, cannot find where they left their glasses. I know, because I've been in this situation many times. I'm wearing contacts right now, but I have myopia, which means I can't see things that are far away. It's more than once I was certain that I put my glasses at the bedside table, only to awake in the morning to realize that's not the case. And then I'm groping around, looking for my glasses, the very ones I need so I could find anything that I'm looking for. I can see this far in front of me, but I can't see 10 feet in front of me. It's a bad situation. I'm glad I have people who live in my house that help me. Well, whether your vision is 20/20 or 20/200, I would say that we all have a bit of a problem with long-term vision in a sense. What am I talking about? Oh, you know what the next day on the calendar will be. But you don't really know everything that's going to happen on the day of the calendar. Oh, you might write it down in your day planner. You might try to anticipate as best you can. But one of the problems that can give us so much anxiety in life is that we really don't know what is coming next. There's so many uncertainties. And we might do everything we can to insulate ourselves from the fear of the unknown. We love our weather apps and our weather stations, and we get very angry when the weather is not what they said it was going to be. And we try to buy insurance, and we try to make wise investments, and we try to plan for this and that and the other thing, but in the end, there's so much we just can't plan for. We don't know what's coming next. And things can change in such a hurry. And that's true with the ultimate thing that is going to be coming one day, someday, and a day that we don't know when. That awful intruder into life called death. We don't know when it is coming. And even if we try to take our supplements and drink our green smoothies and exercise, it's still going to come one day, but we don't know when. And perhaps that's the greatest fear of the unknown that we can ever experience in life. That's why I need these words today from 1 Thessalonians, and maybe you do too. They were written to a group of Christians living about 2,000 years ago in a Greek city called Thessalonica. That's why it's 1 Thessalonians. I wonder why they have strange names that are being written originally to people in those cities. But these Thessalonians knew what it was like to have a fear of the future, an uncertainty that permeated them. For some of them, they would have been suffering persecution for their faith. They didn't know when death was coming, but they had also made that long and mournful and awful march to gravesides of their loved ones who had died. And deep down, they probably had that nagging fear. What's happening to them? Will I ever see them again? And so God gave them words to encourage their hearts, to encourage your heart as well. Certain words in a world of uncertainty and fear, when you don't know what the future is going to bring, Jesus is going to tell you the most important details about your future that you ever need to know. He's going to inspire the Apostle Paul to write these words by the Holy Spirit. And this amazing text begins with simple but profound statements in verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Do Christians grieve when someone dies? Yes, they do, and that's fine. Jesus did that too. When his great friend Lazarus died, we have a two-word verse of the Bible that says, Jesus wept. Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead in a few minutes. Jesus wept. Why? Because he saw the pain that death had caused to Lazarus, his family. Death bothers us. As Christians, please don't say this to one another when someone dies. Oh, just get over it. God won't give you more than you can bear. No. It's okay to mourn with those who mourn, to grieve and cry with those who grieve. We grieve to a death, but we don't need to grieve like the rest of humanity that has no hope. Those who don't know God and what God has done, death becomes the absolute final line. Go to an emergency room, go to a funeral home, and you will see the difference between those who grieve without hope and those who grieve with hope that there is someone and something else who is there. Without God, this life is it. And whatever toys you got to play with and whatever money you got now, good. I hope you enjoyed it because it's gone, it's done, and we're not seeing you again. That's no hope. That's grieving and that's meaningless. But we don't need to grieve like that because we do have hope. And this Bible word for hope doesn't mean kind of an optimistic wish. It means a certainty that something better is coming. The problem is it's hard to remember that. At times we might live life like those who have no hope. We have a lot of stuff that gets into our life and that gets into our agenda, that gets onto our schedule. We have uncertainty and fear, and at times we might try to insulate ourselves from all of that, not with the certain and beautiful and pure and true promises of God, but with the little idols that crop up here and there in our hearts and lives. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but if I can accomplish this before tomorrow comes, then I can feel good. If people will like me, if people will love me, if I have this thing or that thing, if I have just a little bit bigger, fill in the blank, if I have a little bit more. And at times as Christians in this life, we might walk away from the word that can give us hope and live like those who don't have hope. And you know it. And you can gauge your heart if you ask yourself this question. What one thing, if it was taken away, would you feel your life could not go on? What's that one thing you might be looking for hope in that's not God? Now, we might think of some big things. Well, if my health was taken away, if my spouse, if my child, that would make life hard to live. Yeah, but oftentimes, if we really look into our heart and mind, isn't it a lot smaller than that? When my check engine light goes on, at times, I might seem like one who's grieving without hope. Oh, come on! I ordered that pizza 30 minutes ago. It's been 32! And the second half is going to start. Oh no, what's going wrong with the house now? Oh, yeah, I don't care about my heavenly home. I need this one fixed already. Ah, neighbor's house never has these kind of problems. Oh, that hangnail, that hang. Anyways, we could go on and on. It's so easy to get distracted from the hope that we have in Christ, and sometimes it doesn't take the grave before we find we have white knuckles hanging on to all of these things here, saying, if only this goes better, if only this goes right, then I can stop worrying a little bit more, then I can feel better about myself, then I can have certainty. And so in the end time season, God comes and clears away the cobwebs and says, understand, this is all going away. You will die. Dust you are, to dust you will return. So get straight right now what's going to last forever and what's going to be gone or could be gone just like that. But he does that to give us something better. He does that so we can still enjoy our earthly blessings but not get so wrapped up in them that we live like people who have no hope. He wants to lift our eyes to things that will never change no matter what tomorrow brings. And so to give us certainty in the midst of a life that's always changing, he says these beautiful words in verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. You want certainty? Here it is. Jesus really died. Why? For all of my sins, for all of my selfishness, for all of my shame, he died on the cross. It's all buried. He really rose again, guaranteeing that I am forgiven, but guaranteeing that I will rise and be with him forever too. He describes even death now as falling asleep. What has happened every time you've fallen asleep? You've woken up again. That's what death is. It's just waking up in a better place. It's not the end. You will live forever. Which means even if you lose everything in this life, now you've lost nothing because you have a life to come that can't be taken away. Here's some more details. Verse 15. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Thessalonians were worried about many things. One of the things was, well, what if our loved ones die and they're buried and Jesus comes back on the last day? Will they kind of be left behind somehow? And God says, no, don't worry. Everyone's going to rise. We're all going to be caught up. And this is what's going to happen. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This describes the last day. Come back next week. We're going to talk about the last day more next week. But when Jesus comes back again, it's going to be obvious. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to sleep through this alarm. Verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. When Jesus comes, he will raise literally everyone from the dead. Now, if you're still alive when that happens, if it happens this afternoon, you're going to get to see a cool sight. You will see bodies being raised from the dead, not weird zombie things, but bodies being raised from the dead, reunited with the souls that are already with Jesus in heaven, and formed together into a perfect, wonderful, awesome, incredible body. What will that be like, Pastor? I don't know. But it's going to be great, and I can't wait to see it. Bodies that had been stricken with cancer will be healed. Bones broken, put back together. Children died, raised again. Those graveyards that looked like such a permanent place will be revealed for what they really are, just temporary storage. As those bodies are raised from the dead, reunited with their souls, and Jesus will be there. What a sight that will be. If that happens, and we're still alive to see it, wow, what a sight. And there might be some congested traffic depending on where you are. I visited Antietam Battlefield a couple of weeks ago. There's not too many people up there, but boy, it's going to be crowded on the last day. Arlington's going to be a mess too. But it's going to be beautiful. As broken bodies are reunited with souls made perfect forever in the glory of Jesus. And then you and I will be caught up together. The word there describes almost like a father running and picking up his child in his arms and saying, I gotcha. I was coming home from work. What are you worried about? Jesus is going to come and pick you up and say, come be with me to a place where you will not need contacts or glasses anymore. Where you will not need insulin or injection or medicines, where you will not cry or weep, where your bones will hurt no more, where your heart will be broken no more. Come, you who have a cloud of depression or anxiety upon you, let me lift that away forever. There will be no more worry or grief or mourning or pain. Come, you will be in heaven with me, and there will be no more goodbyes. There will be no more goodbyes. Because of that, the final words of this text are so true. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Our vision in this life is so limited. We can't see what tomorrow brings, and we get so upset because of that. Jesus says, encourage one another with this truth, and I need this encouragement. Remember, Jesus is coming back again. All of your problems, good news, they're just temporary. They're going away. But you will be problem-free forever. You are immortal. And you will be with Him forever. There really is an end. It really will get better. And you really will be with Jesus forever in heaven. He's coming back. When I first came to this area in Virginia, a lot of people talked about a place they did go to on vacation called the Outer Banks of North Carolina. I had never been there. I had an opportunity to go down there. And the way that I was going there, I thought, why am I doing this? There's 100,000 people on the highway. I'm just sitting with them all. I'm going to the ocean. I've seen water before. I've watered my bathtub. Why am I doing this? And then I got down there. And I walked in front of the ocean and went, wow, it was incredible. It was amazing. And they even had duck donuts too. It was awesome. And I loved it, and I wanted to go back. See, I couldn't imagine how good it was because I hadn't been there. And once I'd been there, all of that congestion and suffering to get there, I forgot about it. If we were in heaven for 5 minutes, well, I think we'd be cranky tomorrow going to work. But if we'd see how great it is, yes, we'll still grieve. We'll still miss our loved ones when they go there because we have to say goodbye for a little now. But we will not feel sorry for them because we know they're in a better place. And then tomorrow, when those problems and burdens and pressures and pains keep flooding you again, your eyes can look forward to that place that you're going. Jesus will come and take you to be with Him forever in heaven. That's where you're going to be. Now and forever, He lived, He rose, He died again. May He lift your eyes to see that clearly until the day you see Him with your own eyes face to face. Amen. May the love and peace of our God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through faith in Him. Amen.